Today has an interesting first reading, and I remember really meditating on it for the first time when I was preparing and discerning the priesthood. And let's just say it was not without a few thunderclaps in terms of meditation and reflection when God says to the shepherds, "You have neglected your sheep, you have fed yourselves, you've gotten fat," and all this. I was like, whoa, it's pretty intense. And on one level, I understood it. That's what made me feel so heartbroken when I was reading it. And on one level, I was immediately thinking about shepherds, as in priests, etc. But the ministry of shepherding is not exclusive to the priesthood. It's not exclusive to the priesthood at all. It has to do with being a parent. Being a shepherd has to do with being an elected official. It has to do with even being a boss at work. It has to do with any realm of authority that we are given. And it also has to do with educators. Because it's really important for an educator to know that what they're doing is they're training the sheep to think, which is not easy. Sheep are notoriously stupid. And so teaching dumb sheep is sometimes a very difficult process. But yet, isn't it so much better to have smart sheep? We all watched, but maybe some of us watched that movie Babe. And there's that story about this pig who becomes a shepherd dog. And he becomes successful because, in the world of talking animals, he just asks the sheep rather nicely if they're willing to just go double file in this path rather than having a barking dog chasing them all over the field. And so the whole motto was that this gentle hand and this encouraging voice was a much more effective way of gathering the sheep than just barking at people. And the funny thing is that's exactly what the prophet is warning the people of Israel about with the shepherds, that he used harshness and tough, unnecessarily tough language to harangue the sheep into a type of activity. But that's a sign of insecurity. Any one of us who's worked with a shepherd, who is always speaking authoritatively, always speaking this kind of do as I say, I'm the boss. He's not a strong man, or she's not a strong woman. Those are weak people who are trying to assert their power because they don't even believe in it themselves. It's like looking at themselves in the mirror and trying to convince themselves they're tough. It's what bullies do. This is what people that don't actually believe in the strength that they possess will act like. And so one of the ways in which St. Elizabeth Turgeon can kind of give us an interesting glimpse into things is she herself was never strong. So she died in 1881 she did most of her work in Rimouski, Quebec. So I don't remember exactly where she was born, and then she was a very promising student, and then eventually a bishop pleaded with her, please help with this whole education thing. And then she was an initial member of a religious community and became their first superior, and she worked really hard, but in the end, her health constantly held her back. And sometimes we think that those things that impede us, those thorns in the flesh, as Paul calls them, are somehow things that make us less. And so we often, like Paul, constantly cry to heaven and say, please take this from me. I asked the Lord to take this thorn from my side. And then God responds to the Blessed Elizabeth as he did to St. Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Paul says then afterwards, therefore I rejoice in my weakness, because in this weakness is the power and the strength of God. God can be seen clearly through the fact that St. Paul or St. Elizabeth do not themselves carry the whole force and power of what it is they do. And this is precisely what makes shepherds lose their mind, lose their purpose, lose their mission. They think the sheep are theirs. They're not. They're God's prized, I don't want to say possessions. They're God's pride and joy. each and every person in this world is uniquely created by God and loved by God. And very often when we're preoccupied with the work, as the people are in today's gospel, we forget the people. We forget the people that are involved, and we become so fixated on procedures and protocols and all of these different things that are helpful for helping people, but are not the point. And their envy reveals the problem. In the end, what they're interested in is what they get out of it. They want to be able to get what they want. And what they don't notice is they have such a generous boss. They have such a generous Lord. Like if any one of us had a boss like that, we would be jumping for joy. Not necessarily on the day, but we would know that, if I got sick, or if I had a hard day, that guy's going to have my back. You know what? Through thick and thin, I'm going to keep working with this guy. There's a bit of a transition. The shifting of our thinking, the shifting of how we prioritize life, comes under how God reveals himself. God wants us to understand that it's his world, his mission, his church, and he is giving us the privilege of participating. Because the great glory that God is making through us is he's making us like himself. And so unlike, again, the micromanaging and insecure boss, you'll notice that what God is willing to do is to take a step back and let us screw up. And we do it a lot. And think about all the times in which, in your life or in your household or in the kitchen or in the office, when somebody screws something up and you almost never want to trust them again with the blender or with the pen or with the computer. God has his most, again, pride and joy, his people. And he still doesn't give up on us. He wants us to learn the importance of these relationships. So with Blessed Elizabeth, we should not serve because we get something out of it. We've already received everything. We've received our reward. That's how we serve.